I'm Pastor Massett. This is Higher Ground Live. We're live with Dr. Sam Kennedy. And Sam, you know, I asked a question in the last segment. You mentioned a speech. I said, hey, it sounds like magic words. And you said, basically it is. You let the judge know who you are. But then I listened, and it sounds like you get some magic paperwork you give them, too.
Paperwork is very important. There are those who say that paperwork is not important. But in my experience, the quality of the paperwork can really be critical to the outcome of the case. There are many patriots who have gone to jail because they don't know precisely. They rely too much upon their ability in a courtroom when they're under stress and tension, and it's very difficult to think. And there are very few wonderful courtroom presence in this country. Obviously, Winston is a wonderful courtroom presence. Sam Davis is excellent in the courtroom, but it's not so easy to execute. So let me take you through at least one of our methods and some of the offshoots from it for educating judges as to who you are and how to settle the case. This, we'll refer to this as administrative remedy. The administrative remedy that I like to use in criminal cases that I will educate people about consists of two parts. The first is an administrative presentation to the party who's making the offer. Now, that's the first thing you have to understand. Every offer that comes in, every indictment, warrant, citation, what have you, is really an offer to expand funds under public policy. And I guarantee you, other than a banking attorney, no attorney's going to know what that means. But there is no money, and the way money's created, if you look in the Federal Reserve Manual, Modern Money Mechanics, I think it's on page 6, it says expansion of the money supply. Of course, banks don't lend money from their deposits, it says, because they're not allowed to statutorily. What banks do when they make a loan is they accept promissory notes and they issue credits to the depositor's account. In other words, it's all a matter of digits. Nowadays, it's all electronic digits. When a court presents you with an instrument on behalf of a plaintiff, or when the prosecutor sends you an instrument directly, all of that is nothing more than a negotiable instrument. It's a demand to produce funds. Ultimately, they want funds, and they're going to collect those funds from the defendant either in the form of compensation, in the form of your incarceration, when you've substituted your personal physical being for the liabilities that have been attributed to the defendant debtor. And if they incarcerate you, then bonds will be issued against your incarceration, against that liability, and marketed on the open market to Walmart and Prudential and many other companies. Or they will accept your exemption as a living man from their entire system and from taxation if you've set up the commercial paperwork properly. So the first thing we would do is set up the paperwork. We would help someone set up the paperwork, just like we set up our own paperwork, by establishing a commercial relationship, as Barton has taught many people, as many people have been educated in establishing yourself, the living person, as the creditor to, rather than the surety of, the legal fiction straw man. That's done through a security agreement, filing of a UCC, and then sending the paperwork along to the U.S. trustee, who also wears the hat of the Secretary of Treasury, and asking him to research and pay all liabilities that have been attributed to the debtor, defendant, straw man who bears a name similar to you. Then once that's done, you can start executing the administrative remedy. The administrative remedy would begin with the issuance of an invoice in a letter form. It's a letter rogatory, a letter from one jurisdiction to another, and it might be titled, depending on the circumstances, any one of a number of different things. One thing I like to put at the top of this paperwork is opportunity to exhaust administrative remedy in the Admiralty. I know most patriots do not get responses to their paperwork. We get responses very often because when you put an opportunity to exhaust administrative remedy, it gets their attention, certainly in civil cases. They understand that if they don't take the opportunity, they've lost the case before they walked in the door.
They know administrative remedy is a legitimate area of law.
Well, under Rule 12 of Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, unless the party has exhausted their administrative remedy, they can cite Rule 12 and have the case basically thrown out, dismissed, upon the fact that there has been a failure to exhaust administrative remedy. And believe it or not, that can apply in criminal cases. We might offer the judge an offer of immunity. We might include a confession of judgment if they fail to honor the contract that they're about to enter into. We would provide them notice that this case has been settled and closed. So the first thing you might do is apologize for all previous commercial dishonors. As we've explained in the previous programs, all of this is about commerce, about lex mercatoria, because all crime is commercial. Anyone who doubts it, just go and read 27 CFR 72.11, and you'll understand that ever since 1933, everything is occurring commercially in admiralty because a corporate court cannot be bringing living men in under corporate law. We would certainly make sure that we've made our intentions known so there's no accusation of harassment, so they can say, he performed that crime with intent to commit injury or intent to scare or cause anxiety or harass. We would tell them it's our intention or it's my intention to fulfill all lawful obligations under public policy. We would provide a certified copy of our UCC-1 filing so that, and we would provide it as our statement of interest. We might attach a bond to this, a fictional bond or a real bond, depending on the circumstances, based upon our exemption, and we'll talk more about the exemption in a minute. We would give the respondent an opportunity to present evidence that our claim is defective or that there's a superior claim to ours, and if they don't within 10 days, they have stipulated their agreement that we're the paramount creditor. We would make it known that hereafter we're appearing exclusively by special appearance. We would take all of the paperwork they've provided, and we would mark on it accepted for value and our name and the date and our exemption number, which is the Social Security number without dashes. Basically, we're telling them that we're accepting this for value and returning it for value, basically using our credit, our exemption, as the offset consideration for the charge that they're attempting to collect. That settles the case, and we would let them know that that settlement will be certified as a settlement agreement by the notary who is presenting this paperwork. We would let them know that we're tendering our consideration, we're giving them authority and instructing them to apply our credit, our exemption number 12345678 as consideration in exchange for payment of all obligations that have been attributed to the debtor. And failure for them to exhibit any we might ask them to exhibit evidence of a defect in the tender, and failure to exhibit evidence of a defect is stipulated as their agreement and confession that there is no defect, that the tender is good as gold. In fact, it is good as gold. We might give them a statement of account, which gives them 14 days to respond, if not, they're limited by law to that ending balance, which is zero. We would also demand payment under public policy, and it might say something like, since their consideration was not attached to their offer, that we're asking the notary public to make a lawful demand for payment of this invoice pursuant to public policy, and we're asking that they produce the product of their offer, tender it in the form of a check, a money order, or a settlement statement of equivalent value indicating payment of all liabilities attributed to the debtor. Now, the product of the offer is a very important concept. If you go to Sears and you buy a washing machine and you put it on a credit card, you leave there with two things. You leave there with the invoice and the washing machine. Well, and then they send you a notice, and every month you make that term payment or you pay it off. Well, when the court, which is just another corporate commercial entity, sends you a notice that ultimately is a demand for payment of X number of funds, where's the washing machine?
Very good.
And I've been in courtrooms where people have said to judges, "Your Honor, where's the washing machine?"
That's good.
And wait to see the judge stop in his tracks. So we will make a demand for payment in all of these invoices. And then we'll tell them what the repercussions are for non-performance and non-payment. We will ask them to recall all securities that have been issued in the case and give us an audit of all securities, any bid bonds, performance bonds, Miller bonds, non-Miller bonds, mortgage backs, anything. Anything that's been issued in this case, we're recalling and we are here. We want you to recall it, and we are hereby discharging all liabilities with our exemption. And by the way, if you don't believe me, here's my bond. And you draw up a bond based upon your exemption and include it with the case. Now, I've seen those bonds wind up in the round file. So very often we'll put those bonds into the court, into the clerk's office, take out a certified copy, we'll put a copy into the case, and if the clerk doesn't accept it, we'll put a cover sheet on it. She'll accept it. She doesn't accept it, we'll open a federal jacket for $39, stick it in there, and take it back out. That becomes our own private recording studio.
In other words, it's really there. Don't just throw this away.
That's right. So the certified copy goes in with the original saying, all right, now you know it's a matter of record. Let's not play cute here, Judge. And then all of this is submitted under notary seal, and we might have the notice might include a request for certified copies, depending on just how much of a rogue. So some of these small courts can operate as rogues, not allow the real party in interest access to the file, not distribute certified copies, not acknowledge receipt. So we do everything under notary seal. And what I would do in an important case, if my neck was in the noose, I would take this entire process to the notary after it's completed, and I would ask the notary to take a deposition. Notaries have that power. And I would say to the notary, on such and such a date, we sent such and such to such, or you sent such and such to such and such. I'm looking at the certificate of service. To these materials, the following notices were sent to Mr. John Jones, Assistant United States Attorney, concerning this case. And we would go through the litany of the procedures we had performed, have the notary seal that deposition, and then send it in to the court clerk and say, this deposition was taken under notary seal, and you are instructed to place it into the evidence file. It's as simple thereafter as walking into court and saying, Judge, we're submitting a petition for summary judgment based upon the pleadings. Would you please check the evidence file? What's he going to do? Now, they can get cute, and if they get cute, we have lots and lots of other procedures. We'll be happy to review that after the break.
Okay. You're opening up some really fascinating techniques. You are definitely delving into answering the question that's been at hand, which is, how do you do this? Friends, by all means, stay tuned. When we get back from this break, you're going to hear the answers that you've been waiting for, that we've been waiting a couple of weeks for, as we've been asking people, how do you get people out of jail? How do you keep people out of jail? I'm Pastor Matt. We're live with Dr. Sam Kennedy here on Higher Ground Live. Powerful hour.